Well, it is Tuesday, October the 8th, and it means it's time for Campus Connection. That's our show with school district officials. They're here to talk about what's going on. And let me get you some headphones so you can hear what's happening. Does that sound better? Okay. All right. Well, in the studio with me is Superintendent Erica Kluepainter and Board Member, Board Vice President, right? Sarah Holmgren.
Acting president tonight.
Acting president.
Yeah, Mara's out of town with her other hat, Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
I'm going to tilt this down a little bit. Mic's right.
We're all whacked out after all the fun up here last week.
Oh my gosh.
KFSK fundraising week.
A lot of activity last week.
You guys met your goal too, didn't you?
That is for sure. We went over our goal.
Woohoo!
That's
awesome.
Which is fantastic. It was over 80,000.
Nice.
It was donated. It's amazing and humbling.
That's
really
fabulous.
Yeah.
So good.
So, let's see. It's going to be a regular meeting starting at 6 o'clock for the school board, and that happens in the regular place in the middle and high school library, and KFSK will be broadcasting the meeting live as usual. Mm-hmm. So looking at the agenda, seems like a lot of regular items have come up on the agenda. Reports from administrators, principals, the activities director and the maintenance director, and then the board will be going over, I counted them, I think there's 18 policies, and that's kind of what a usual housekeeping. Making sure that the district is meeting the state regulations.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, some of it is just changing some of the language to make it more general. I don't know how else to describe it besides that it's the every ESSA, Every Student Succeeds Act. You know, every time you get a different, every time we get a different president with a new Department of Education, they come out with certain mandates or certain ways of their lingo changes, and so some of our changes are strictly just, you know, making it more warm and fuzzy, I guess. I don't want to belittle some of the changes. Some of them are good, but it seems like in some ways we're just saying the same thing a different way.
I see. Yeah.
So there a lot of them are really minor, except for the one new policy they've asked us to potentially examine, which is would be a new board policy, 35-15-5. Not that the listening public necessarily cares about the number, but it's how to address sex offenders on campus.
Yeah. I did see that when I saw
it. Yeah, and
I
we don't have anything right now. And it's you do kind of want some sort of policy before you're ever presented with the situation so you know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, is it Kenai? Oh, I think it came out of Kenai. And so, you know, so at this point, AASB is saying, rest of the school districts, if you don't have anything, maybe you should examine this particular policy.
I never really thought about it until I saw that, and then I thought, well, I can see both sides, parents in the community who wants to make sure their kids are safe, but at the same time, let's say there is a sex offender out there who has a child in school, and maybe they're on the sex offender registry from years and years ago, but they also want to be actively involved with their kid.
Correct, yeah.
You know, what does that look like, and how do they participate in a safe way?
And I would say that when I did read the policy, and actually Sarah is on, it's good, it's great that you're here today too, because Sarah is actually the board member that's on our policy committee. And so when we were reviewing all of these, we had decided there's actually a couple more policies that are kind of new.
That's true.
This was one of them. And so we wanted to chew on this one a little bit because, I mean, even just reading the title of it, and it already came out, you know, on KFSK, we had a few people that were like, oh my gosh, where is this? You know, it's like, okay. So I actually got on the KFSK, just the little article that was on there on Facebook, just to reassure people there's been no issue. There's not there's not a reason to panic, or, you know, it's nothing like that. This is part of the 18 policies that are on our list. But that being said, it is important, as Sarah said, I think, to just have it all documented, make sure that we are implementing procedures the way that we should. I will say we have been, which is good. Somebody had also commented, I think, even on your article, just about exactly what you said, which is, you know, we actually have had people in our, as parents, who have had something that maybe happened you can run the gamut of issues with sex offenses, and being on a registry could be something that happened when you were 18 or 19 years old. I'm not diminishing that. I'm just saying it could be something, you know, all the way up to absolutely horrific, you know, things that people could be on a registry for. So, an Alaska statute, interestingly enough, does not actually prohibit sex offenders from entering school campuses. So school districts need to have policies in place for how you deal with custodial parents, non-custodial parents, parents of kids in your, you know, in your child's classroom. You know, how does that all work? What kind of permissions need to be gained? How do you protect children's rights to privacy as well? All of those.
Yeah.
All those issues.
When I was looking it up, I thought I'd find something out there on the internet. But like you said, it was, I think the only place I saw was maybe Kenai, that one school district that had started a policy.
Yeah.
But I didn't really find anything else. Yeah. Even on the state, you know, the state's resources.
Right. Exactly. And I think, and actually that says that in the note that we had gotten, that clearly it had come from, I mean, even all these updates that, and a lot of times policies will come from places where potentially there has been an issue. And my guess is if this policy was written, it actually looked like it was written in Kenai and actually let's go back to 92, but it was, looks like it was added to theirs in 2011 and then revised this last year. So my guess is that is typically how policies like this come to be, is something has happened clearly in their district. But that being said, I think putting it on paper and making sure that we are, you know, clear on procedures. And like I say, it was good for me to see it and know that these are procedures. It doesn't happen often here. Just again, reassuring people. It's not a common occurrence, but it has happened in my time here. I've had it happen when I was principal at the elementary school, and we did handle it the way that it's outlined in here, as far as, you know, communicating privately with people, making sure that there's permissions gained. They do have the right, of course, to have access to their child's teachers for parent-teacher conferences, but there's lots of other things you can put in place for making sure everybody is comfortable and that it's handled, you know, in a way that's respectful.
So the district is there anything already written down in a policy form? Okay, yeah, that's
no. No, and to be honest, I hadn't crossed my mind at all until this, when we got our packet of recommended policy changes as well as new ones, and it was like, oh. You know, and I think of even just a few years ago, one came across with assistant animals.
Oh, service animals.
Service animals, yeah. And that came out, and we were like, oh, that was probably 4 or 5 years ago. It was a while ago, before we had any animals, or any we don't have, as far as I know, any staff, but I mean, any students that needed them, or any, we didn't have any on campus in need of it. But it's one of those things, is trying to get ahead of the game so that when something does come up, it's like, okay, wait a second. Do we have a policy on this? Okay, now we know how to handle it, just because it's new.
Be consistent.
And be consistent. Right.
Yeah. And not
right.
reactive. And
exactly.
Like, oh, this happened.
Yeah.
So does that, when the state included that particular policy recommendation in the list, does that mean that all the districts out there have to come up with something, or is it just a recommendation, say you might think about it?
I think it's just more of we're members of the Association of Alaska School Boards, and so they vet a lot of them. Well, they vet them through their own lawyers, so that the idea is that when they hand them down to us, you could just adopt them as written. Sometimes we make a few changes to them just based on, you know, because they're written fairly general for a massive school district versus a small school district. But and I think in this case, they took Kenai's pretty closely and said, hey, for districts that haven't dealt with this or don't have a policy at all, here's a suggestion. Yeah. And so I think tonight we felt as the policy committee that it wasn't something that we initially would want. I mean, you have to go through this first reading anyway, but just say, hey, we need to examine this, and before we just blanketly say yes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of the purpose of two readings, is so that you can kind of chew on it too. I mean, the rest, I think most of the rest of them are just like, yep, same policy wrapped in a little bit different package.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
this one is definitely brand new, so all the more reason to have a discussion if needed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another thing you'll be, I don't know if it'll be a presentation, but talking about is the school designations. And you mentioned, Sarah, the different, you know, administrations and different kind of ways of measuring schools and their success, and that seems to change along with different governors and different presidents.
Yes, you're right.
This is the latest one.
System of school success.
System of school success. So it's kind of a trickle down from the Obama Every, what was that acronym?
Every
ESSA.
Student Succeeds Act.
Every Student Succeeds Act. Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of the state's response to come up with a plan of ranking public schools in three kind of categories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Petersburg, this is the second year for the ranking, and then Petersburg, what I saw was that all the schools are universal support.
Yes.
That's the category, which means what I'm guessing everything's good.
Yep, and we've made progress since last year in those designations. As we discussed a little bit last year, they're a combination of kind of multiple indicators, which was something that they did try to address that people were not... did not feel was as equitable under No Child Left Behind, which was not just looking at achievement on that one, you know, assessment one time a year and sort of making these kind of blanket, you know, assessments of a district, how they were performing. They did take some other things into account, like looking at achievement but also growth. So if students, which is the goal, students should be making growth, that should be everybody's goal, all schools. But everybody doesn't do it the same way, same time, same rate. So they did factor that in. So it's kind of a complicated sort of factoring of lots of indicators. Graduation rates for high school, absenteeism, ELA performance for third grade. That's actually one of the big indicators at the state level as well. So it actually gets almost used twice at the elementary level. So it's like you use... the achievement levels overall, and then specifically they look at third grade proficiency levels. Also specifically they look at English language learner progress, which was an addition to these indicators different from No Child Left Behind. We don't have a huge population of true English language learners here, so our numbers are almost always suppressed in that because we have low numbers. So they're not actually factored in to our scores. So it's interesting.
Even if it was a good one.
Yeah, exactly. Even if our kids are making growth, and they are.
Because if you only have a few kids, then it's pretty easy to figure out what their score was.
Yeah, they don't.
You know, so
you can't identify them if it's too low of a number. So. Yeah.
Well, it sounds kind of a comprehensive way of looking at schools.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit more comprehensive than No Child Left Behind.
I do think I think the state's response in trying to implement the federal regulations for that, I do think they've tried to take that into account. We clearly still have some concerns about, you know, some of the ways that things are, you know, are figured out. Even the absenteeism rate, I know we talked about this a bit last year, particularly at the elementary level, because there's a lot of things about absenteeism in the early school years that are sometimes well beyond our control. I mean, kids get sick, people take trips, you know, I mean, it's a factor that a lot of, I'm just going to say, politicians like to use because it's an easy number to get, right? We take attendance, mm-hmm. we have PowerSchool, you can download it, it's really easy. But our world is changing, and even when our kids travel, you know, they have access. They have access to their teachers now, they have access to us. You can do things back and forth. I mean, our middle and high school in particular, you know, people have Google Classrooms and Canvas and ways to communicate, you know, with their kids. We're pretty good at it here. Mm-hmm. So the seat time issue has continues to be discussed. You know, I know it comes up at the board level. I know Sarah has some pretty strong opinions about it, and as do others. You know, mm-hmm. we talk about it at the state level with the Department of Ed too. Like, you know, there's some things here that just need to be brought up. That being said, if we do have children who that whole point was meant to truly address, if we do have children who are not engaging with the school or are missing 20, 30, 40 days of school a year or 50, mm-hmm. you know, that's a whole...
Especially unexplained, non-logical ones where you could say, oh, they came down with something, major illness, you know, or you've got a kid that's just chronically not at school because they're... for whatever reason, usually
could be
family.
Lots of reasons, but you know,
sounds like two different kinds of absenteeism.
They are.
Yeah. Though there's the remote Alaska,
mm-hmm.
have to travel
mm-hmm.
to visit family or whatever the case may be,
or medical,
all kinds of mm-hmm. reasons when you have to. You're not on the road system and that mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Versus what you're talking about, which would be across the board.
True chronic absenteeism that really does deserve some sort of intervention and support. You know, that's a different.
Which is what the majority of the country is used to, not not remote Alaska.
Yeah, kind of different for here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I read that the designation, it wouldn't really apply to Petersburg because you're universal support and kind of the highest ranking, but for schools that don't fall within that category, they might be able to seek funding to mm-hmm. help improve
access
themselves.
Some support. The other two levels are targeted support and comprehensive support. So there's some, and it's important to have those avenues for districts to be able to access additional supports if they need them. And I do think our Department of Education does, they continue to do the best they can to provide support to people when they continue to sustain pretty massive budget reductions and staff reductions there too. But they hang in there. They keep trying to reach out and make sure if people need something, they're trying to provide that and help. So, which is great. You know, curriculum materials, training. They do try to be responsive to that. So it's a good thing.
Well, any news on travel for students this year with the state budget cut to ferries and then the ferries changing their schedules to be kind of scaled way back this year because they have way less money from the state budget. So that's had a trickle down to activities for students in the school district.
Yeah.
Any update there?
So I think Jamie was attended the awesome meetings, week and a half ago.
Yeah, it was when there was volleyball matches here.
Yep.
He had to leave.
Yep, we were all gone. Yeah, I was at meetings and he flew up for his meetings. And so this was the latest we've ever gone trying to schedule the basketball, the whole region, you know, because of course all the things we talked about before with Cordova and what they're dealing with and Haynes and, you know, Cake, all the smaller communities that are really, really impacted. We clearly are, but there's others who literally have
no
access, you know. So they did come up with a schedule last weekend, and it is on our school district calendar. So if people want to, you know, check it out and take a look at it, they can. It's definitely impacted the way we're doing some things. We are very grateful right now working with Alaska Airlines. They continue to work really hard to provide different sorts of rates for us, group rates, and they work with us a lot to try to help with some of our larger groups because everybody, this is our world right now, you know. It's going to become more and more prevalent that at least one direction ends up flying. So it's challenging. So okay. Going with fewer people and...
Yeah.
It sounded like they were trying to group some of those. I mean, I remember Jamie talking about a group even coming from Western Alaska.
Yes.
It was cheaper for them to fly all the way to Southeast Alaska.
Selwick. It might happen.
Yeah. Than for them to even visit in their own...
Hooper Bay.
Physical, you know, out in Western Alaska because they have to come all the way into Anchorage and then go back out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was going to be cheaper to come down. And then we would be hitting, you know, our teams would be getting them as well as Wrangell still staying in conference.
Yeah.
Wow, that would be...
It might happen
strange.
In a few weeks in November. It really might. I mean,
it's kind of exciting. I think it's neat.
That's like 1,000 miles away.
Yeah.
But sadly, that it's cheaper for them to get here than
that's
to
so,
that's what's
play
so
within
crazy.
Their own geographical, you know, vicinity.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
It is. Remote Alaska is very unique.
You know about that.
Very unique, yeah. Well, I'm sure Jamie Cabral will probably talk a little bit about those updates in tonight's meeting as the activities director and relay the latest information on travel and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about? Sarah, were you on the ballot in the election? So
it was uncontested.
Yeah, it was kind of a quieter part of the ballot because there were some other races where there were, you know, several candidates. But for the school board, there were two open seats, but then two, you as an incumbent as well as Mara Lutomsky as an incumbent ran uncontested.
Yeah.
So how long is your term?
3 years. I've been on the board for 10 and a half, so I think maybe in 3 years. Convince someone else to.
We appreciate you.
I know. No, I'm
your
happy to
service.
Do it again. But I feel like I'm being kind of a board hog by continuing to stay on. Someone else wants the opportunity. But
she's
no,
a great board
it'll
member.
Be it'll be good. I think it'll, you know, I'm glad to be back and, you know, to get to work and continue on.
Yeah, we're happy to have both Mara and Sarah on our board.
Yeah, you were president for a number of years.
Well, for a short period, so it's a lot more work. And I just couldn't keep up. Mara's doing a great job. I hope she stays, you know, unless someone else on the board wants to do it. But, yeah, no, she's definitely...
When you're in charge tonight, you can make sure everybody stays where they're supposed to stay, right? This is the time
board organization.
To reorganize if you want, and you don't have to.
We'll just elect her again.
She won't be here, but she'll end up being president.
Right.
I love it. That's
all right.
Awesome.
Well, anything else for the public?
I don't think so. Nope, we're going to talk a little bit about out-of-state music request for Mr. Linhardt for Jazz Band. Held him off a little bit last spring on that just because things were
so... We didn't know what was happening.
So crazy. So we have asked him this. This is the year for... They alternate with close-up to Washington, D.C. Last year was close-up. This year is usually... They alternate.
Would have
we
been.
Do one
yeah.
sort of trip a year, but we kind of held him off, and we all agreed, and he did too, to just, like, we need to kind of wait and see how things go and into this summer and all of that sort of thing. So the board will hear kind of his reasons for why he's looking at the one he's looking at, and we did ask for some comparable cost comparisons to what it might be like to go to one that's up in Palmer, and they're like within like $30 of each other. So anyway, he has some reasons he'll present tonight, and I think we've started some seaweed fundraising, so I will say that out loud.
Yeah,
we're getting up at 7 a.m. on Saturday to go out and hack
up
seaweed.
The weather.
It's going to be awful. It always is, but it's okay. But it's good, right? I think it's better for the
seaweed. At least it
wasn't
going to hopefully not like, yes,
Sunday's
weather.
Not like Sunday. Oh, my goodness, that was awful. But anyway, so yes, if you are wanting to put in a seaweed order, call Carly or Marcia at the high school office, $15 a bag. We are going out to pick it and bag it, and we will drop it off to you on Saturday. That's my mom hat.
Okay.
I'm going as a mom.
Yeah, I think we have a little PSA about that on the radio, too.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, thanks so much for joining us today for Campus Connection. Again, the school board meeting will start at 6 p.m. in the high school library tonight, and KFSK will be broadcasting that meeting live. We'll see you there.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And stay with us. Street Beat is up next with Ross Nanick III as our host.